Hello everyone, and welcome back to Retakes Podcast, the animation podcast for industry animators. How do you like that as a tagline? My name's Danny, and I am the host, and I am a 2D animator currently working in the UK industry. And if you are a listener from the beginning, you might notice that I sound very alone, and you would be right. The reason why there's been a big break between the last episode and now is because we have lost Leah. We haven't lost her, we know where she is, but Leah's not going to be on the podcast moving forward. So it has caused me great anguish to sit down and finally record something. I have been worrying about it for months, absolutely months. When was the last episode? Too long to even think about. And so I've been on like this little personal journey, this hero's quest, if you will, of like, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do? What is Retakes going to be? Should I just let it die? I mean, we did some really good episodes and I'm really proud of them and they're out there forever anyway. So I could just leave it there and I could just sack all this discomfort off, call it a day, pat myself on the back, pat Leah on the back. We tried a thing. Amazing. Leave it at that. But something was always niggling me. And I've had a few comments and messages as well from people just saying like, oh, will there be a new episode soon? And you're quite right to ask. If you've been enjoying it, that's amazing. And I am so thankful. And just asking that question really got me trying to come up with an answer as well. So it's been really good. So I've been worrying about rebooting it, basically. Giving retakes a retake. Oh, the irony. I have been worrying about it, though. And there's been loads of things that I've been putting in my own way, mentally, physically as well, but mostly mentally. And I then came up with the idea that this would actually make a really good episode, I think, personally. And there was something in me that made me not want to quit it. And I thought we could talk about that today. That would be an excellent first episode back. I've made some notes and I've got some points. You know I love a numbered list. So let's get into why you shouldn't quit yet. Now this topic comes up for me all the time as an animator on projects. Projects can be extremely fast-paced. They can be full of stress. The schedule can not allow for any sort of like human fallow period, and we can get burnt out really easily. And so I find myself in this position of not wanting to quit. And I have this with the podcast as well, so I think it would be relevant for both things. So the theme of today's show is don't quit yet. Now the first question I have asked myself is why not quit? And it's such a good question. It's like the first and best question to ask. Like sometimes I find it hard to raise that question with myself. And I'm just swimming through the mental negativity of all the things that I'm throwing in my own way. And asking yourself a question like, why not quit, can be quite hard to do. So I'm here to ask it for you. Why shouldn't you quit? There must have been a reason that you started in the first place. And this is what I keep coming back to. Why did I start retakes in the first place? Now, it wasn't just a me and Leah thing. Leah came to me and said, we should start a podcast because we had all these chats anyway because we were having a lovely mentor and mentee sort of relationship and we were really talking deep about the industry and we have really similar careers, so it really worked. And she said, let's record it, let's start a podcast. And I said, girl, I already have an outline. So I had all these notes on my phone and this idea to start a podcast ages ago. I had the name Retakes. I had outlines for episodes, topics and stuff. And it was the reason I had that was because I couldn't find that podcast for myself in the first place. So I would be constantly looking for advice for my career. I've always wanted my own mentor. I don't know how I've managed to skip that step and just become a mentor. And I'm like too old now for a mentor. Anyway, so I was always looking for that kind of advice and I wasn't really finding it. There's lots of animation podcasts that review animations and they do have like the interview sections are always the ones that are most, that I find most thrilling and exciting because it's usually a person talking about how hard it is and how they fought through making animation and how they got out of their own way, etc., etc. But it wasn't enough, and I was always looking for this podcast, and so that's why I thought, why not start one? Why not start one? And for some reason, I mean, a million reasons, but like, and I know the reasons, but for some reason I didn't do that by myself. But when a catalyst came along and said we should do it, I was like, yes, I'm ready. I have all the notes. And it's the same in animation. It's the same. You can go all the way back to the start of your career. Like, why did you want to be an animator in the first place? And that's really easy. I'm obsessed with animation since I was a tiny kid. I'm sure you're the same. Like, big lover of cartoons. Huge passion for drama. Like, I love people and why people do things and how they think and feel and act in different scenarios. I'm always watching and I'm always thinking about how human beings get through. I love it. Maybe in another life I will be a psychotherapist or something. I think I would love that as a job. I love humans. I also hate them, but I love human beings, and I love reading and learning about why they do the things they do. And that's a big part of acting, and it's a big part of performance, and a big part of drama, and that is a huge reason why I'm an animator. I'm too shy to be anything else. I couldn't be an actor, but I love the idea of giving life to something inanimate, and I'm sure you do too. So if you went all the way back to the beginning of your career, I'm sure those reasons would be the reasons why you started in the first place. Now, if you're on a job that's going a little bit wrong, and you're thinking, why did I start this in the first place? Well, you don't have to go all the way back to the beginning. There might have been some reasons that you can identify of why you did start that job in the first place. And they might be software related. Maybe this was a step up for you and you thought, yes, I need to get on this Toon Boom train before this train leaves without me. That was me a couple of years ago. And that's why you are where you are. And that is still the case. It might be it's a studio that you really wanted to work for before, and you wanted to crack that studio and meet some people on the inside and get on their pipeline and start impressing them. And that might still be the case. It might be the project itself might have been something that you just thought, ooh, yes, please, I want to get on that. And so you can put yourself in those shoes of like, why are you here in the first place? What were the reasons that drew you to this job? And if you can focus on those rather than what's gone wrong or what's feeling uncomfortable, that is going to help. The next question that I asked myself when I was ruminating was, what's gone wrong? So I've identified like why I don't want to quit, because I know why I wanted to start in the first place, but I find myself in this position of having to restart the thing. Why? What went wrong? Well, the good news was retakes wasn't wrong. I don't believe that that was the mistake. I don't think that it shouldn't exist, or I don't believe I should leave it there to not exist anymore. I still think that the podcast was a good thing and a good idea. And I still want to listen to this podcast. If I did let retakes just die, I would still be Googling animation podcasts for animators, animation industry, but I would still be Googling it and hoping that someone else would take that up just so I could listen to it and have all this sort of deep thinking, self-development stuff in my ears anyway. So it wasn't really the podcast that was a mistake, and we didn't do anything incorrectly. In fact, we learned a ton about sound design, about marketing, about equipment. I mean, like, I love knowing how to edit audio. I love knowing how to like make my voice sound a little bit better. I've invested in some new equipment. So that's something that like might have gone wrong the first time round that I can actually address in the second go around. So I've bought a new microphone. I am up in a new, I'm going to call it studio. I'm just going to call it studio. I'm up in my attic. I've softened as much of the surfaces as I can. There's all sorts that I learned the first time round that I can do a little bit better going forward, but I wouldn't say that it's what went wrong. So what did go wrong? Well, it's just two people who are very different and wanted two different things and could not agree. And that's it. that's all that went wrong, really. And that's okay. That happens in every facet of my life, to be honest. Like, there's been other times where I've worked in a partnership and we've disagreed on some, on like, maybe the core concept is where you disagree. And if you disagree on the core concept, then there's not really much you've got to work with. And so sometimes quitting that partnership was the best thing for those two people individually. And they go off and they do fun things separate from each other, and that is fine. This kind of thing happens all the time. And it's not wrong, and it's not incorrect. It is just where I find myself right now. So the things that I'm panicking about that, and actually this comes back into the third point, was what's triggering me. So if you can identify what's gone wrong wherever you're at, or what you feel has gone wrong, there might be some triggers that get thrown up with that. And my triggers have been, what if I can't do this alone? What if Leah made the podcast the best? What if everyone, like, okay, I'm going to be really honest and say things like, what if Leah was the best one and no one actually liked the part that I brought to it? What if Leah was the funny one and I can't carry a podcast by myself? There's all these horrible little triggers that are coming up that I'm going to have to identify and I'm going to have to address. They're not being good enough on my own. The sense that people might judge that the change equals a failure. The self-confidence and the solo-ness of it. Like, what if I can't do it by myself? And when I think about that, I think, why not try anyway? Like, you don't know. I don't know I can't do this by myself until I try by myself. And a really good way of doing that is to take the pressure off yourself in the first place. So if you're, I'm trying to think of an example that's not the podcast, because maybe this is just too specific and unrelatable, but like, say you are in the middle of making a film and for whatever reason, it's not as easy. Well, it's never as easy when you start out, is it? But something's gone a bit wrong and you're trying to identify what's gone wrong and you're trying to identify your triggers. And you realize that one of the triggers is that you've put a load of pressure on yourself. So I've put a load of pressure on myself to leave where we left off. It's not going to ever be able to do that, because I'm on my own and it's different. And as soon as people listen to the first 10 seconds of this podcast, they might think, oh no, not for me. And I've put that pressure on myself that like it needs to be that good, if not better. But that pressure's coming from me and me alone. And there's pressure from me on all those triggers. So how can I address that? And how can you address that? Well, identifying where you've put the pressure on yourself, the pressure's coming from within your own head and from not external sources. So if you're making a film, there might be external pressures such as like if you had funding and there was funding deadlines and there were people waiting for things, or you had people working for you that you need to be feeding them content or feeding them the parts of your work that will then enable them to get on with what they're doing. But that's fairly low level pressure. The main pressure that you're putting on yourself is what's triggering you. You can quite easily identify and get rid of quite quickly, and it would make your life so much easier. Now, here is what I'm doing. So I am recording this as a test. I have colluded with myself. I've made myself a deal that I'm going to sit down and I'm going to press record and I'm going to see what happens, but nobody has to hear it. That is the deal I've made, that nobody has to know. I can do this for myself, and if I don't like it, I'll delete it, I will throw my laptop in the sea, I will close up my attic, and I will never speak about retakes ever again. No pressure. There's no need for any pressure. No one has to know. And all the pressure that I was putting on myself externally can just for 1 second be left alone, and I can just get on and see what happens. Just press record and see what happens. And that's it's hard and it's easy. I've just made it easier by taking all the pressure off. And it's like, well, duh, no brainer. So if you're in the middle of a transitional period or what feels like it's do or die, try and identify where you've put the pressure on yourself, and is there any way that you can get rid of that by saying there is no one expecting anything from me, or just make a few small steps towards the next big goal of yours in your project. Or if you're on a pipeline and feels like pressure is coming from above, it feels like there's pressure to hit deadlines, it feels like there's pressure to please the directors, etc., etc. But if you can recognize that it's actually you that's putting that pressure on yourself and not them, it would make your day more comfortable. And even if it is them, and sometimes it is, you could just send a quick message saying something like, hey, I'm feeling the pressure. Can we have a chat about your expectations? And then you get to have a little moment with your animation director or with your producer or whatever, where you can say, this is feeling really tough. Here is what I can do. Here are some things that I can't quite do. Where do we meet? And let's see what happens with that. If you can do this on any job where it's starting to feel like you can't handle it, the earlier you send that like alarm up to management, the easier and faster they could deal with it and it not upset the production, if you know what I mean. I think this is a bit of a tangent now. I think I've gone a bit beyond just you and yourself. But it is a really good tip and something that I do quite a lot. And I've got a lot of experience and I've worked on a lot of different pipelines and I've worked at a lot of different speeds and for a lot of different management styles. And if I'm feeling like I can't do what they're asking me to do in the time that they're asking me to do it, I love sending that alarm bell because it's only going to help me feel more comfortable doing my job. It's only going to help them with planning and reallocating or rescheduling. And it's going to help everyone else because if one person is struggling, then it's probably quite likely that like many more people on the team are also finding it quite hard. And I love nothing more than a meeting with with my higher-ups where I can just find out a little bit more about the whole scope of the thing. I like having like a bigger, wider view of a timeline and a bigger, wider view of like expectations on a project. I don't know if that's just me, but I just like knowing, do you have a plan if this goes wrong? And if you do, then great. I'm just letting you know that this is going a bit wrong. And if you could implement that plan right now, that would be fantastic. And that would remove all the pressure from me. And I can just get on with what I'm good at, which is knocking out good enough animation for this project. And you can take some shots off me, etc., etc. That might have gone a bit tangenty. I'm really sorry. Does that make sense, though? So once I've identified those triggers and I've taken any pressure off myself that I can do, the next thing I always think about is like, what can I work on? So that will probably give you like identifying like what's gone wrong and those and what triggers are coming up for you will probably give you some development areas where you think, okay, I can work on that actually. Like I can put some practice in. So for the podcast, I've removed the pressure of whether this is going to become an episode or not by telling myself, don't worry about it, Danny, sit down. Press record, see what happens. If it goes well, great. If it doesn't go well, then what can I do about it? I can practice. This could just be practice one or two or three. This is actually, full disclosure, my second time sitting down and doing this exact episode because the first time round, I wasn't quite happy with it. And there you go. The pressure was off. Like, I don't have to release that first recording. I can try again. And one of the things I can do before I sit down and record, which ended up being the case between the first recording and this one, was I practice. So the first one was a trial run. It was a practice run. I learn and practice what it sounds like when my voice is coming out of my mouth all by itself and there is no one asking me questions or giving me a break or bouncing off what I'm saying. It's going to take a little bit of practice. What else can I work on? I can write more notes. So I wrote notes anyway for the episodes that we recorded together because I am just that kind of person. I will take a note. If you say something to me, I will note it down. I like a notebook. So I can take more notes though. Like more notes makes me feel more empowered that I know that I have a structure and that I know what I want to move on to next. If I get a bit stuck in a sentence and I think, oh my God, my mouth can't catch up with my brain, where is this going? Where am I taking it? I can look down at my notes and see my map. I can see roughly where I'm heading. And can I make what I'm saying right now tie up into the next thing. And I couldn't do that without a list of notes. What else can I work on? Better equipment. That I've already talked about that. So one of the great things that I learned from the first time round, let's call it the first season. So like, one of the great things I learned was that there is so much to learn about audio. Some loads of stuff I didn't know. And we had the lovely James Keeble helping us at all times with the audio. And he was giving me so many tips about where to place my microphone, what kind of a room to place it in, how to sit, how to speak, loads of different things that I didn't even take into account. I thought you just got any microphone that you could find on Amazon for 30 quid, put it in front of your face and talk, and that would be enough. Well, no, that it was not enough. And he had to do a lot of work behind the scenes. Now, I'm hoping that I will be able to do that myself, because now that I don't know what's going to happen, because James Keeble sort of came with Leah as a partnership, because they have worked together before and he's working on her film. So she was the one who brought James onto retakes to help with the audio. And like, I don't have that now. And I'm worrying a little bit about that. It's another area of that I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself. Will I be able to make it sound as good? I've done a lot of things, such as I've bought a new microphone, I've bought new equipment, I've set it up in a different place, I have taken everything he said on board, I've watched 1,000 audio editing tutorials and making vocals sound nice and clear. We will see. I don't know. I do not know. But it's something that I can research into and work on so that I can remove the I don't know-ness from it. And I can sit down and work. And that is the last thing on my list of what can I do. It's just sitting down and doing it. And that might be the same for you on a job right now. You've alerted management that you're struggling, or you've alerted them that there is extra pressure on you that you're not able to meet for whatever reason. Maybe there's a bit of a renegotiation there. You're feeling a bit better. Management knows. Everyone's really nice in animation, aren't they? Like, I love a good chat with management. They will make me feel better faster than I can make me feel better. And then I can sit down and work. And so that's the next thing. So, final point, and this has helped me so much in so many areas of my life. And it is like a light bulb moment. And I figured this out through mindset coaching. So this is not something that I ever had before I went to see a mindset coach. I think we talked a little bit about life coaching in the first season. Maybe I'll talk about it more going in the future if you're into that. I am into that, just saying. So this came from mindset coaching and it's blown my mind. Listen to this. Focus on the outcome. Focus on the outcome. It's something that I don't know if I didn't know this in the first place or it was so hard that I couldn't do it. But what do you want the outcome to be? Has blown my mind. So the outcome I want is to restart retakes, record something good, make it sound nice, and put it out there. Now the bigger outcome is I want retakes to be a helpful podcast for animators. If that's what I focus on, if I focus on the end result, the outcome, it makes it so much easier to think through all the little steps that you need to take to get there. What do you want the outcome to be with the job that you currently have? So the job that I am working on at the moment, my outcome is I want some fun, silly, zany animation, good animation for my showreel. And I want to have a really nice time. And it is working out for me. I am having such a lovely year working in animation. It's so funny because when we first started this podcast, I was in Burnout Town. I was the mayor of Burnout Town. I was having an awful time. I just handed my notice in, I think, at one of my hero studios. I won't lie. Like, when you get to a hero studio and you have to hand your notice in because it is awful for you, you are not a good fit, or the pipeline is just way too much, or you came only with half a tank of gas anyway. It's a horrible feeling. It's a horrible failure of a feeling. And I think I wondered if I'd have known this back then, whether the outcome would have been slightly different, because maybe I could focus in on what I wanted to get out of the job myself and rather than focusing on all the ways I'm failing. So the outcome I want for the one of the outcomes of the job that I'm currently working in was like, it's a studio I haven't worked at for years and years. In fact, they were one of my first studios at the beginning of my career 15 years ago, and now I am working for them again, but they are almost an entirely different entity. They have gone through so many changes. So it was a case of like, it almost felt like cracking a new studio. So I like to go into places and have a little impact on the team. I like to get to know as many people as possible. I like to figure out where they're heading. I like to figure, it sounds really corporate, but I just like to know who's in charge of what and who does what. And it feels like if I focus on that as an outcome, like having an impact on that studio and those people, then it takes it gives me that guiding light. It takes the pressure off my day to day and makes it all about the bigger picture. Oh, focus on the outcome. Honestly, it's a game changer. So even in kayaking, I use this. Like, focus on the outcome is like, I want to have a really great weekend meeting people, and I want to feel tired and happy at the end. And it sort of puts my mind at the end of the process instead of right at the beginning, where you're, or I am, full of anxiety about driving to somewhere new, full of anxiety about paddling somewhere I've never paddled before, so focused on all the danger of that, worrying about whether people will like me or whether I will let down the other paddlers. So like in whitewater kayaking, you need a team of people to paddle with. You can't paddle on your own for safety reasons, and they might be at different levels to you. And so when you capsize or have an accident or come out of your boat on the river, there's this really big pressure of like letting the other people down. They're all going to have to stop what they're doing. They're going to have to stop their journey. They're going to have to rescue you, help you back into your boat, blah, blah, blah. All this ugly stuff before the trip I worry about so much. But if I put my focus on the outcome, which is I want to feel just blissfully body tired and have a great day with people, that has always been the case. There's 100% success rate. Everybody always has a really great time, and often I don't cause a massive accident. Often I don't fuck up in the way I think I'm going to fuck up. And so all the worrying beforehand was almost unfounded anyway. And I know I am queen anxiety. I know how hard that is because I have been on anti-anxiety medication since 2009, people. I know what I'm talking about. It is hard. And the only way out of it is thinking about the end result instead. Like picturing what it is that you wanted out of it in the first place. And so that's what I'm doing today. I'm hoping that this will just be a helpful podcast for industry animators. Even if just focusing on the outcome has just blown your mind enough for you to be like, ooh, tasty, I'll use that tomorrow at work. I will use that on Monday. Then job done. I will just focus on that. I'll focus on that one person that might say, oh, that was great. And not focus on all the things that I've just talked about that are trying to stop me press record. Now, once I've figured all that out, what's triggering me? What can I work on? What is the outcome I want? Then the very next thing I can do, and there is no option in this, the fastest and only thing you can do to get through the next bit is to take some action. So this can be really small to start with. So I just come upstairs into my attic. I switch the lights on. I switch my laptop on. I get my chair out. I do all these tiny little tasks that are actions that then, once you've done one, has a knock-on effect on the next one. So switching my laptop on, I can't switch the software on before I switch the laptop on. Do you know what I mean? So I switch the laptop on, and then the next action from that is open the recording software. And then it's just sit down. And then it's just press record. And then it's try and talk. I just introduce myself. And if I panic, I just delete it. I mean, I've deleted this today's recording four times already. I don't like it, I'll just delete it. But the next action is start again. Press record again, introduce myself again, start talking, keep going. And look at me go! Eventually you'll just be doing the thing. Eventually you'll just be getting back to the thing that it was that you loved about whatever it is that you're doing, wherever you are. And you'll be doing it and you'll be like, why did I ever want to quit in the first place? Finally, I'm back flying. So an action that you could take, if it's really, really bad and you are at the very, I mean, this whole episode has been about not quitting. But if you've done all this and it is still friggin' awful, then maybe that action is self-preservation. Like, you don't need to be this thing. Maybe the outcome for you is, actually, I need a damn rest. Actually, I need a reset. Actually, I need to think about this a little bit more. I need some space. So I am going to park that thing for a while. And even quit, like, I've quit jobs before. In fact, yeah, I've just talked about it at the start of this podcast. I quit one of my hero studios for burnout reasons. And it felt like the end of the world. It honestly feels like you will never work again. If you hand in your notice, that's it. Everyone will be sent a memo about how bad you are and how you just quit this thing and you're the worst and never hire you because you can't be relied upon. And that is, I'm here to tell you, Auntie Danny is here to tell you, complete bollocks. Absolute bollocks. There's no memo system that ties studios together. Obviously there isn't. And that studio that I did end up quitting came back to me months and months and months later and said, are you available? Not even the place you quit has written you off. There is probably a million different reasons why animators leave jobs every day. And they know that. And it is not ever going to be taken personally. I don't know anyone that's ever been really, truly blacklisted. Have I ever met anyone that's been blacklisted? I don't think so. I mean, I've been working for a long time and I'm a chatterbox, so I will ask these questions. I don't think I know anyone that wouldn't be able to go back to the studio that they did quit in the first place and say, hey, I'm feeling fresh again now. Do you need anyone? Like, it's not happened to me yet. So even if you've got all the way to the end of this episode and you think, yeah, Danny, shush, I still want to quit, then quitting isn't quitting still. Like, it's not the end of your career. You crack on. You crack on, girl. Take that rest. Because the only way to really, truly quit is if you stop trying. So if you quit and you never, ever try and get another animation job again, only that is truly quitting. Do you know what I mean? So how was that? Was that helpful? Oh, please tell me if that was helpful. I really hope this has made you feel less alone. I really hope that there was something in there that landed with you. I really hope that whatever you're struggling with right now, that you will do like me and not quit yet. Just give it one more try. Just give it one more try. I don't know what's going to happen with this episode. I don't know if this is going to be the one and I'm going to put it out there. I don't know yet. But at least I tried. At least I sat here and tried. So please, please, I know we always said this at the end of episodes, like, please give us feedback. Please let us know if you liked it. I am serious because this is a reboot and it's so nerve-wracking for me to be here on my own and do this by myself. I would love to know what you think. Do you miss Leah? You can message me and tell me you miss Leah if you want. That's absolutely fine. So it's retakespod@gmail.com, retakespod on Twitter and Instagram. And actually, we're on Threads now. God, I know. I also panicked today and joined TikTok. Man, there's a lot now, isn't there? I don't know where we're all going to end up playing, but let's hope it's all in the same place. So yeah, look us up, RetakesPod. If you've listened to this anyway, you know where we are. And you can always message me. I would be dying for your feedback. I am begging for your feedback. That would be amazing if you could let me know if this works. Because I'll probably be panicking. I've really enjoyed it though. And that's really important. So if you've liked it, that would be amazing if you let me know. And hopefully, I will see you for the next one. And I will hopefully have another juicy topic for you that I hope that you find as juicy as I do, because I love talking about this kind of stuff. Thanks very much for listening to Retakes Podcast, and I will see you for the next one. Bye!